Hi, I'm Jasmine Bayomi. Today on The Debrief, no money, more problems. We want to find out why Venezuela, despite having so much oil, is in a rut. Venezuela used to be the richest country in Latin America, but now it's falling apart. Protesters have been rallying for months now. Food is in short supply, healthcare is but a fantasy, and inflation hit an all-time high. So the question is, where did all the money go?
It's funny you should ask that. I just interviewed the president of the new legislative super body, who was the former foreign minister, Delcy Rodriguez, and I asked exactly that. Where did $1.4 trillion go? She says it went into social spending.
That's our Latin America correspondent, Lucia Newman. She's covered Venezuela for years now and is frequently in Caracas.
Anybody thinks it looks around Venezuela, you don't see that much of it. It's true. Granted, the Chavez government built lots and lots of houses for the poor. You see them all over the country, especially in the capital, Caracas. But it really just doesn't go far enough for explaining where all that much money went. Many people stole the money. It was not invested in a way that, you know, you can see people having jobs that are long term. Really, what you've seen is millions of Venezuelans depending on social handouts, which now aren't forthcoming anymore because they've run out of money.
All right, so corruption, social handouts, and failed institutions. But before we get into all that, let's look at just how much oil Venezuela has. It's a lot, seriously. Venezuela has the world's largest oil reserves. Oil exports make up almost half of its income. Nevertheless, the government hasn't been taking good care of its oil facilities. The public oil company stopped paying its subsidiaries. So the subsidiaries started producing less and less oil. And on top of that, the oil price has also plummeted.
Now, you can't believe this, but a liter or a gallon, I don't know how you measure it, of gasoline in Venezuela is so, so cheap that I can't even tell you what it costs in relation to U.S. dollar, because it used to be, let's say, a penny, 1 cent. Now it's 0.00001 of a U.S. cent. It's so inexpensive that it's hard to even explain it, at least at the official rate. You can fill your tank for less than 10 cents. But that gasoline is then sold on the black market across the border. So now you're finding people queuing for hours and hours and hours in many cities in Venezuela. They can't even buy gasoline.
Imagine that. One of the world's largest oil producers where you can't find oil. So to sum it up, falling oil prices and decreased production led to less money coming in. Which leads us to the next problem. How Venezuela uses that money. Protesters claim President Nicolas Maduro and his predecessor Hugo Chavez didn't do a very good job at running the country. At the end of the 90s, Chavez launched a political revolution.
No sepan los golpistas. Asimismo, que lo sepan los oligarcas.
There was a new constitution coupled with some pretty extreme socialist policies. But these policies depended on the high oil prices. So Chavez started redistributing land and wealth. He nationalized oil, finance, agricultural and industrial companies. And he fixed prices and devalued the exchange rate with the US dollar. Yes, these policies helped a lot of people back then. But with less money coming in, the system collapsed by the time Maduro took over. Now, the country is down to its last $10 billion in reserves. More than two-thirds of that are in gold and can't be spent that quickly. This year alone, Venezuela has to pay over $7 billion in outstanding debt. All this led to a massive drop of Venezuela's currency. It lost 99.8% of its value in the last 5 years.
It used to be that people would walk around with bagfuls of money just to pay for practically nothing. But now they can't find the money. The bank only has enough bills to give, like, let's say, pensioners one quarter of their pension, which is practically worthless anyway, at a time. So the pensioners have to go four times in a row to the bank to take out, let's say, 30,000 bolivares. And with that, they can buy a carton of eggs and maybe a kilo of cheese or something, or not even that, and some bananas. People just don't have cash. So whoever can pays with a debit card. So everywhere you go, people have these little debit cards. But even the debit card machines are now on the black market because they're in short supply. It's an endless struggle to pay for things, to have the money to pay for things, to find a way to pay for things.
So let's boil it down. A liter of milk, which may have cost a dollar some years ago, could cost $11 by the end of this year. And that's just not affordable for many people in Venezuela. So now, food is so scarce that it's being sold on the black market. And a lot of people are literally on the brink of starvation.
I went into the hills of one of the slums in the capital not long ago, and I found these people with nothing, absolutely nothing in their cupboard, and they were showing me, the father went to me, said, look what I'm doing. And he showed me he was growing bananas on the hillside of the slum, and a few green peppers and things like that. And he says, this is all I can feed my children. And when I asked the mother what she was eating, she said, well, I just drink water. The bananas that I have here, I need them to send my children to school. So people who were eating decently enough just a few years ago, now they can no longer afford to eat.
But people still need to eat. So Venezuelans, even middle-class Venezuelans, are lining up at dumpsters outside restaurants and supermarkets to go through the trash and find food.
Scenes like this are common.
Each day at dusk, the unemployed converge on this sidewalk trash heap in downtown Caracas.
More and more people reduce to eating from the rubbish.
Picking through rotten fruit and vegetables tossed out by nearby shops.
Enter the food traffickers. Food trafficking has become the biggest business in Venezuela. Maduro put the military in charge of managing the country's food supply. But journalists discovered that the military runs its own black markets and takes bribes from food importers. As a result of all that, many Venezuelans have lost a lot of weight with the so-called Maduro diet.
Well, very often family dinner looks like an empty plate. There are people who can't afford to eat anything at all. You know, the statistics cannot be more clear. 60% of Venezuelans are suffering from anemia. Most people have lost at least 10 kilos. That's the average since this crisis began. And, you know, under Chavez, occasionally there were, you know, shortages. Some things disappeared from the market, but then they came back. But people used to be able to eat chicken and cheese and especially arepas. Now, the arepas are like the Venezuelan bread. People cannot conceive of life without an arepa, especially for breakfast. And now they can't even get the flour to make these arepas. It's very, very hard to come by except from the black market. And then it's extremely expensive. So people are eating anything at all. They are making fritters sometimes, in cases, out of banana peels. It's just horrible.
All right, so no money, no food, and no way out of the situation. It shouldn't come as a surprise, then, that Venezuela has been at the top of the World Misery Index for the last 3 years. So why is Maduro still in power?
That's a good question, and something we all ask ourselves, something the opposition leaders ask themselves. But I'll tell you what I think. It's a combination. First of all, people are so busy trying to find food. Who's got time to go out and really protest? Secondly, the opposition leaders have not managed to convince the impoverished masses, the poorest people, the ones that are up on the hills scrambling for a banana. But several people told me, they said, look, you know, I'm looking from up here. I see the government opponents and the government security forces fighting each other, or the government. They're all fighting for power. It's all the same thing. You know, at the end, it doesn't matter who's in power. That's what some people tell us.
Also, Maduro's support base goes beyond just the poor. He has the military on his side because he's been keeping them happy. On top of that, he says the opposition is encouraging violence. His solution? Training his own supporters for violent confrontation.
Just the other day, I went to a military exercises that were held by President Maduro just after President Trump said that he would not rule out a military solution or a military option to bring back democracy to Venezuela, to quote President Trump. And I saw the National Guard training ordinary citizens on how to become National Guardsmen and how to tackle protesters. In other words, how to get ordinary people to try to fight against people who go out to protest against the government. And that's pretty scary.
That is scary. But you know what's scarier? The use of the word terrorism. Because for Maduro, anyone who opposes him is a terrorist. And, of course, Western powers are conspiring to destroy the country. But after more than 100 deaths since April of this year, hundreds more injured and thousands of arrests, including journalists, judges, and opposition politicians, what's the solution? Elections. To create an assembly whose job is to change the constitution. But those people are doing more than just that.
They're going after the opposition leaders, the ones that they say are responsible for the uprising. They call them terrorists, fascists. So now they're going to put these people on trial. That's what's next. While they come up with a new constitution, with a new order for Venezuela that a lot of people are afraid is basically a legal mechanism to turn Venezuela into a one-party state under the Socialist Party. The system is going to officially become socialism or death. That's what they want to do. How they can do it, if they can do it, we'll have to see. But they're moving in that direction.
We'd love to hear from you. Drop us a line at debrief@aljazeera.net and don't forget to rate us on iTunes. See you next week. The end.